Good afternoon. It's great to be here. Great to see you. I am looking forward to our study time together, and I appreciate so very much every opportunity that we have to listen to the message, to live the message in our lives. It doesn't matter how much we hear, how much we know, unless we translate that into a lifestyle that befits the Son of God. It really, really doesn't matter. Mother's Day is a special day for a lot of people. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers and grandmothers. I did not take the opportunity this morning to wish that. I knew Billy would be saying a great deal about mothers, but tonight is my opportunity to say Happy Mother's Day. Billy and I have shared a lot of things in common. One of the most significant things that we've shared in common are moms who were a lot alike. We both had gems. He had an opal, I had a pearl. And they were great, and I would love it if everybody listening to me could have the memories of a mom that Billy and I have about ours. We talk about that often, and I am hoping that those of you who still have moms are developing those kinds of memories in a relationship that is just fantastic. Tonight, I want to think about dressing ourselves up with kindness, and the reason I am using that title is that that's the way God talks about qualities and characteristics that we ought to be adding on to our lives. Peter said, add to your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. You add. The Apostle Paul spoke of the kinds of things that we ought to have in our lives as putting them on, as though you could put on a garment or take off a garment. And in this passage from Colossians chapter 3 in verse 12, we are to put on as God's chosen people a number of things. But tonight we want to emphasize putting on kindness and dressing ourselves up with kindness. I think every one of us has experienced circumstances in life where we have failed to be kind. We intentionally were unkind to people. We might have felt like those people deserved it. We might have felt like, well, you know, everybody makes mistakes and I'm as good as everybody else and therefore not any worse than everybody else, and it's okay to be unkind now and then. What we want to do is to get up every day and take this spiritual garment of kindness and clothe ourselves with it. Louis Fletcher years ago wrote a poem entitled The Land of Beginning Again. And in that poem, she was talking about how wonderful it would be if we looked at our lives and we could look at all the sadness and sorrows and difficulties of our lives, the bad attitudes that we have, the actions that we've undertaken that have hurt us and have hurt other people. Wouldn't it be great, she said, if we could take off those kinds of things out of our lives the same way we would take off a garment, a coat, and throw it over in the corner and never have to deal with that again. Well, tonight, wouldn't it be neat if we had a land of beginning again where we could take all of those circumstances in our lives where we've been unkind? One of my problems is not meaning to be unkind, but trying to be funny. I say something that isn't funny to someone else and hurts their feelings. I've been unkind. I haven't been thoughtful enough to know that saying something that I think is funny might hurt someone else's feelings. And so we tease people sometimes, not intending to hurt them, not intending to be unkind, but we wind up hurting ourselves. So how is it that we come to get up every morning and have this attitude of dressing ourselves up with kindness? I want to share two reasons quickly with you at first, and then I want to share some qualities that we're going to have if we put on kindness every day. First of all, one of the reasons that we want to be kind is that God is so kind to us, and His kindness has a very special reason in our lives. There's a great emphasis toward our repentance. Look at this passage from Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Do you presume on the riches of His kindness not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. You see, God is so good to us. He is so kind to us. Things happen in such good ways to us because of God's kindness that we begin to expect it. And we expect it every day. We expect it in the way that we want it. And so we presume that God is going to be kind to us this moment and this day because He was yesterday and in those moments yesterday in which kindness from God came our way. We must not presume to think that just because God has been kind before, that He will be kind in every instance. We know the world is a very difficult place. So, first of all, we need to be thinking about God's goodness to us, and in our acceptance of God's goodness, it ought to lead us to repent of sins in our lives and be kind to other people in the same way that God is kind to us. In the second place, we want people to be kind to us. We don't like it. We're offended. We're hurt. And we push people away who are unkind to us. And so we want to go back and remember what we call the golden rule. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. What Jesus is saying here, if you want to accomplish everything that God intended for you to accomplish as you read the law and as you read the prophets, and you see how that works out in life every day, you are going to treat other people in the way that you want to be treated. And so those are two great reasons for us to get up every morning thinking about kindness and what kindness can do for us, what it will do to other people and for other people. So what does it take for us to put on kindness every day and practice kindness all throughout the day? I want to share with you quickly several qualities that we must have. First of all, we're going to learn to be sensitive. All of us like what we like. We want to do what we want to do. And often, we're not sensitive to the needs of other people, the likes of other people, the desires of other people. We really haven't thought through what those people and how those people might want to be treated. And so we do what we want to. A great passage in Philippians 2 on humility and yet a sense of thinking about other people, being sensitive to other people. Paul said in Philippians 2 and verse 4, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but to the interests of others. And don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. We need to stop thinking about ourselves and be sensitive to what other people are thinking and feeling. And in that way, we're going to be able to be much more kind. In 2 Samuel 9 and verse 7, this passage says, do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. The context of this passage is that David has become king. Jonathan, his great friend, is dead. And David raises the question, is there anybody in Saul's household to which I can show kindness? And he discovered Mephibosheth. And as he thinks about Mephibosheth, the main thing that he wanted to do was getting close to him so he could be kind to him. He was sensitive to the needs of a man who had been crippled in both feet, and David showed kindness to him. We need to be sensitive people. Second, we're going to be supportive. We're going to think about what other people need, and we're going to give them the things that they need. We're going to support them verbally sometimes. We don't know how to support at times. We need to work at it. We need to communicate. And we know that in Proverbs 15 and verse 1, the wise man says that a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. We don't want people leaving us angry when they have a problem in their life, if the problem is with us especially. We want to support them and help them learn to be what God wants them to be. So we want to communicate in a positive way. And then as we think about Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3, The wise man said, let not steadfast love, and some translations translate the word love there, steadfast love, into kindness. Do not let kindness and faithfulness forsake you. You take faithfulness everywhere you go, under every circumstance. There are no exceptions. You take it with you. The same thing is true of kindness. We want to say, because of our humanity, well, that person deserved a good piece of my mind. And as we talk to people in that way, and as we think that way, we forsake kindness. And we want to support people and be kind to people instead of angering them and sending them away because of what it means to us. We need kindness with us always, just like we need faithfulness with us always. A third point is sympathy. We need to be sympathetic. And that's hard to do. I think I've even mentioned from the pulpit here, there have been times when I thought I deserved something and didn't get it. Hurt my feelings and made me want to feel ill towards someone else. Instead of being sympathetic and understand how much that other person is going to benefit from whatever I thought I should have, it might be an award, it might be a position, it might be an invitation somewhere with a group of friends that I didn't get. There are many, many ways in which we look at people and we treat them with contempt, at least emotionally. And within our own mind, we may feign a joy for them, but inside we may be full of turmoil, thinking, I should have been there instead of you. And so Paul teaches us in putting kindness on every day, we're going to sympathize with people, and we're going to learn to express kindness to them even when we think we've been mistreated. And sometimes the reality is we have been mistreated. But we want to rejoice with those who rejoice, and we want to weep with those who weep. So we want to be sympathetic, and that way we're going to show kindness and express kindness in our lives to other people. One of the things that's very difficult for us to understand in kindness is that being kind to people sometimes means being straightforward. In doing premarital counseling, even yesterday, I was talking with a couple, and the young man was expressing his desire not to ever hurt her feelings. And so he doesn't say anything to her very often. He thinks he's being kind to her by letting her be a certain way that will not help her, that will not be good for her, that will not be good for the relationship. And I encouraged him to think about gentle, Christ-like confrontation and helping her see how much better it would be to help her see that she needs to think about some things in a different way. She needs to treat him, perhaps, in a different way. She needs to be more understanding of him than she is. And so we talked about that with both of them. Look at this powerful passage from Wisdom in Proverbs 27 and verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Are you ever going to hurt anybody's feelings? If you love people, sometimes you will never intentionally hurt people, but if it means hurting people, you are going to be faithful in helping people see what they need to think, what they need to do, what they need to obey, what they need to stop, what they need to start. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. But look at this last statement. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Sometimes we become an enemy. Paul raised the question, do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You see, sometimes when our feelings are hurt, we turn people away. We push them away. When the reality is they are doing the very thing that we need. They are being kind to us by pointing out the error of our way. And so kindness is not all about something that we could think of as being mushy. You must be straightforward sometimes, letting people know what they need to do. A great example of that is found in Galatians chapter 2, as we see Paul and some of the Jewish Christians from Jerusalem who came to Antioch. Peter came with them. So when Peter came to Antioch, Paul said, "I opposed him to his face." Why? Because he stood condemned. Here's a situation in which the kind thing for Paul to do was to express to his brother, his close friend, Peter, what is wrong. And Peter was wrong in this case. He had been very supportive of the Gentile Christians and eaten with them until the Jewish brethren came, and now he is not ready to do that. And so he stood condemned by his behavior. The kind thing that Paul did for him was being straightforward and helping him understand the error of his way. And then be spontaneous. That's hard to do. Be spontaneous, particularly when you're told to do it. If you're told to do something, it doesn't seem spontaneous. But what we have in mind here is what Paul says in Galatians 6 and verse 10. As we have opportunity, when you have an opportunity to show a kindness towards someone, you take advantage of that. You, with some spontaneity, take hold of that situation and help. And let us do good to everyone, not just the people that are close to us, not just the people that love us or that we love especially, but let us do good to everyone. And then this passage shows us that we have a special responsibility to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to those who are of the household of faith. So we want to be spontaneous. Well, what does that mean? Well, we recently studied the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. Here comes a priest and a Levite and a Samaritan. The priest and the Levite, they see the man in need. They are only thinking of themselves, most likely. We don't know exactly what was in their mind, but by their behavior, they're only thinking about themselves. And they pass by, the text says, on the other side of the road. But here comes a Samaritan who would never have been thought to be used in an illustration by Jesus. At least the Jewish people would generally not have thought that. But Jesus talks about a Samaritan as opposed to a Levite and a priest, who are the religious leaders of the day, the religious workers of the day. A Samaritan comes by, he sees him, he stops and he cleans his wounds up, he binds him up, he puts him on his donkey, he takes him to a place where he can be cared for, and he cares for him. He takes effort, he takes energy, he takes time, and then he takes money. And he pays for this person that had been robbed and beaten, pays for him to stay, pays for him to be taken care of, and offers to pay more if more is needed when he comes back. That's what being spontaneous is. We are going to have opportunity after opportunity to be what God would have us to be. And so we are going to need every day to dress ourselves up with kindness. The kindness of Jesus should lead us to repentance. The kindness of God should lead us to repentance. And as you hear this message tonight, it may be that you need to make some kind of response, as Mike did, to help straighten your life up in a spiritual sense. You may need to do what he did, to let others know of the problems and to seek God's help and the help of other people. Pray that God will forgive you. Please let us help you if that's your need. If you're a person that is not a baptized believer in Christ at this point, but you've been taught and you know you should be baptized, call us, repent of your sins, and confess Christ's name. and be buried with Christ in baptism. Those are some of the kindest words you will ever hear, that you need to be in a right relationship with God to make a change in your life if you need to. That is kindness. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you tonight for the blessing of this opportunity to worship you. Help us to stand in awe of your kindness and your goodness toward us. And when we see your kindness, help us to want more than anything else to repent of sin and get it out of our lives so that we can be close to you, so that we can walk with you every day, so that as we study your word, we will want to clothe ourselves and dress ourselves up with kindness as we go about life. And may we be people who are sensitive and who are supportive, who are straightforward, sympathetic, and we spontaneously choose kindness as we confront opportunities in our lives. Thank you for your Son who gave so much for us, whose kindness is all around us even tonight. And we pray this prayer in his name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.